First off, let me say that FHS is a local non-governmental organization. They were formed in Mefa, several hours east of Aden, in 1995. The organization was set up to reinforce the efforts of the local community in assisting the growing number of people arriving along the coast. Despite the difficult and often dangerous conditions over the last many years, the staff of FHS has worked selflessly to save lives and extend kindness and protection to vulnerable and traumatized people. So the award comes in recognition of their invaluable contribution to the region.
This is a very prestigious award, I think, within the field. Why was it chosen amongst so many others?
Well, one of the elements of the award is to recognize the unsung heroes, organizations and or people that have provided a very important contribution to refugees, to helping and assisting and saving lives, those of refugees and in general. And SHS has done just that. They've not been an organization that has pursued self-promotion. They've simply been on the ground over these last many years, working within the local community. 290 staff members are coming from the communities, from the villages and cities along the coast. They have been living with this situation of the refugees and migrants, asylum seekers arriving on the coast for many years, arriving often in dire straits and in need of assistance. They've been providing this assistance, and this is an opportunity to give them credit for this important work.
Teddy, you are in fact in mission as a UNHCR official. Could you tell me what the situation is for refugees there? Like, where do they come from? What kind of journey do they undertake? And what awaits them once they arrive?
Well, the journey is quite difficult, in fact. Along the Gulf of Aden, most of the arrivals are coming from Bosaso in Puntland, in northern Somalia. And the travel, they often get on boats that are crammed over capacity. For example, many of these boats often would only have a capacity for 80 people, and more than 120 people are crammed onto the boats. Afraid that the boats will capsize, the smugglers do not allow the passengers to move. So for 2 to 3 days, the passengers are crammed, unable to move. Some have often suffocated, travel without any food or water. Once they arrive, the smugglers, for fear of the Yemeni Coast Guard intercepting them, will not actually come to land, but start forcing refugees and asylum seekers, the passengers, off the boat in often difficult waters or in very deep waters. People that can't swim or that can't make the difficult swim drown. So it's quite a difficult situation. When they arrive at the coast, the villagers are very hospitable. I mean, the Yemenis opened up their homes and their villages, communities to new arrivals. Let me give you an example. I met with this 17-year-old boy, and he had traveled from Bosaso. He described the smugglers as very dangerous people. If you don't sit quietly, they'll beat you. Arrived at the coast very early in the morning, walked to a village about a half an hour away. The villagers welcomed him in, welcomed him to the mosque, where he was given food, and then FHS in the morning came and transported him to the reception center, where he was able to spend a few days recovering, and then was taken to Hadas refugee camp.
Are these refugees who would normally qualify for an asylum status? What would happen to them after the refugee camp?
Let me specify that the Somalis have prima facie refugee status in Yemen. What that means is that they are automatically viewed as refugees. Most of the people arriving are Ethiopians, and many of them will come to UNHCR and ask for assistance for asylum. And so UNHCR conducts this process, refugee status determination, to assess their needs, assess if they are fleeing persecution, and if they have a legal right to refugee status. With the Somalis, they have the right to stay in Yemen. They'll either stay in the refugee camp, in Hadas, a refugee camp, or they have the choice of staying in the urban areas, Dana, in Aden, in other cities.
Yemen is actually their port of destination. It's not just a step of a longer journey.
It depends. In some cases, I mean, for many of the Ethiopians and other nationalities and some of the Somalians, they may try to go on to other countries, to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or to other Gulf states or on to other countries. So it is a transit point for some. For others, they arrive in Yemen and they seek protection here. And the Yemeni government has provided assistance for many years to a lot of the refugees and asylum seekers.
Not because Yemen itself is not exactly a very stable country at the moment. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're not. Nevertheless, Yemen has provided a great deal of support to the Somalis and to many of the asylum seekers that has arrived. I mean, this is a point of quite great of interest. It's that despite the difficulties that Yemen deals with, they have been very hospitable and provided a lot of assistance and support to the refugee population here.
Are women and children amongst the refugees that arrive in Yemen?
Indeed, yes. I don't have the figures that would differentiate between the gender and age, but I can tell you that since the beginning of the year, we've had over 60,000 new arrivals along the coast. Of that, about 16,000 were Somali.
Many, obviously, are fleeing Somalia because of the political or the lack of state in the country, which is really in the hands of outlaws. But right now, there's a devastating drought and famine also. Is that one of the causes that triggers them to flee?
Indeed. The staff in the reception centers, our UNHCR staff in the reception centers, have periodically asked the new arrivals their reasons for fleeing or for making the travel to Yemen. And at the beginning of the year, most of the new arrivals, most of the Somalis, indicated insecurity was their main reason for leaving. And drought came as a secondary. More recently, that has switched. And most new arrivals are attributing drought to the reason for them fleeing.
Do you hope that perhaps this award may contribute to raising awareness regards the predicament, the situation of so many refugees in your part of the world, and especially regarding the Somalis, who are really being ignored?
Certainly we hope so. I mean, SHS has put in a great deal of effort over the years, and this is a golden opportunity to give them recognition for their hard work. They're an organization that has been a very good partner for UNHCR, have been there. Situation in Yemen at times can be rather difficult. They work in isolated areas, often in secure areas, and still they continue to provide services regardless for the new arrivals. And the new arrivals continue to come despite a lot of the issues and civil unrest in Yemen. But in the overall region, this is an ongoing problem, and visibility is something that certainly needs to be raised, particularly in Yemen, where Yemen, I mean, again, the government, various civil society organizations like SHS, have continued to provide support and assistance, but internationally, it's, the conditions here are not that well known. And this is an opportunity to highlight not only SHS's efforts, but the efforts of the government of Yemen, the efforts of UNHCR, and of the prevailing situations within the Horn of Africa that lead to this humanitarian crisis.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say about your work then, or about the prize as such?
At the beginning of December, the committee sends out a request for nominations. And so throughout the diplomatic channel, throughout the organizations, UN organizations and various agencies, pretty much anyone can offer a nomination. And so it is actually quite an opportunity to showcase the achievement of SHS, that out of so many possible candidates, SHS has been recognized for their important contribution in the area. The award is one of two real big opportunities within the year. UNHCR has World Refugee Day, and then this award is another opportunity to really bring focus on issues that affect refugees in the world. So the fact that now the spotlight is placed here on Yemen, and particularly on the operation in southern Yemen, is quite an important issue.